Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Today's episode of CICK News comes with a trigger warning for listeners. The topic of this episode is sexual assault. Most specifically, the interviews I conducted are about a new technology that's available in the North called a PACE kit, which is a self-collection kit to collect DNA after you've experienced sexual assault. If someone has been sexually assaulted, their options are to call a crisis line and have support going to a hospital, or they can go by themselves to the hospital. The PACE kit, which will be available in the North shortly at Kasan Society in Terrace, was created as a way to encourage people who would likely not go to the hospital have an option of collecting their own DNA samples with the support of a registered social worker or sexual assault coordinator. Here's Erica Owens, the sexual assault coordinator for the Northern Society for Domestic Peace in Smithers, talking about the options that they have with a PACE kit.
I think it's a fabulous idea for victims to be able to do that themselves and very empowering. It's just how do we ensure that evidence doesn't get tossed later because it's deemed admissible somehow. That's a really great option. And the more we can empower people and take away that like shame and embarrassment and fear factor around that. Like so many times we see victims of sexual violence report to RCMP, and then through that investigation and through it going to Crown Council, it's determined there isn't enough there to move forward with charges. And that's the reality of the situation, but it's devastating for victims and survivors to feel like they did the right thing. They came forward, they reported, and nothing's going to come of it in court.
Since 1988, trial judges in Canada have allowed the introduction of forensic DNA evidence in criminal proceedings on the basis that such evidence would be both relevant and helpful to the jury. With the concerns that Erica has shared, let's now hear from the creator of the PACE kit, Chloe Hunt, to learn about the kit and its intended use.
My name is Chloe Hunt. I'm the founder of Forward Solutions and the creator of the PACE kit.
So can you expand on a little bit about why reporting sexual assault statistics are so hard to grasp or to understand?
So sexual assault is a pervasive issue that's not only, of course, based in British Columbia and Canada, but across the world. And a large challenge in creating statistics around sexual assault is that not many people report, and it's not widely spoken about. Not only that, but traditionally, there has been a lack of focus on gathering that data, not only because it is so difficult to gather, but also because of a hesitancy towards talking about this issue, which has always been seen as a women's issue, but in fact impacts a wide range of people.
And the barriers for reporting as well are psychological, racial, even geographical or religious barriers that keep people from reporting.
In northern BC and in northern parts of Canada, as you mentioned, geographical barriers are huge. You have people traveling 3 hours to get a forensic exam done, potentially down a logging road. And if the weather is not great, as it often is in the north, you're facing even further barriers. Another piece is people having to leave their community. And then there's a lot of shame and a lot of eyes on them, essentially, when they do leave. So it does create complexities in reporting. And then there's, of course, always the traditional thing of people blame themselves for what has happened. It is never your fault. But unfortunately, that shame at this time does live with the survivor rather than with the perpetrator.
Can you tell me about the federal research that you're doing and how it applies to Northern British Columbians?
Yeah, so the current federal research that I'm engaged in is the barriers to accessing forensic DNA collection in Northern BC, Northern Ontario, and the Yukon. And so that research specifically has been speaking with survivors and rights holders within Northern BC about their experiences with reporting or not reporting sexual assault. And we've been engaged specifically in the Prince George area, also along Highway 16. And we've seen a lot of stories of people, if they do go to the hospital, they are typically being seen within 10 hours. But some of those people, if they are Indigenous, have experienced, let's say, historical experiences that maybe weren't so positive at the hospital. We also are seeing a lot of people who simply are not seeking any help at all because of those kind of barriers that we talked about previously.
Now, how did the PaceKit come to be and whose voices were heard in the creation and then now also evolution of Canada's first formal self-collection evidence kit and program?
So we worked with law enforcement, legal professionals, forensic experts, advocates, and also the communities that we seek to serve. So specifically, one of the communities that we seek to serve is the queer community. And so we engaged with an organization out of Vancouver called Community to actually review the manual and the forms to ensure that they are gender inclusive. We also worked with Indigenous consultants to review the formal process, however we do recognize it's an inherently colonial process. So it's more about building supports around the program if a First Nation does seek to engage with us.
Could you explain just what impact you're hoping that PaceKit has here up in the North? What do you want people to understand about when they should use this kit or what you're hoping that it does for them?
So one of the aims of the PaceKit program is just to start that conversation around reporting and evidence collection after sexual assault and seeking care. So one of our aims engaging in the different communities is just to have those conversations with frontline organizations, with the RCMP, talking about that sexual assault response generally. But if you are sexually assaulted, no matter where you are, you should go to the hospital. The PaceKit is not a replacement for a traditional forensic exam. It's a supplement to the existing system and is intended for people who otherwise would not collect any evidence at all. If you are able to go to the hospital, that is not only the best option for medical care and a forensic exam, but it's the best evidence as well. And now, forensic evidence isn't the be-all, end-all, but it does preserve your options for the future. So it's good to do something because once that evidence is gone, it is gone.
Mm-hmm. The PaceKit is a set of three swabs, one for your own DNA for a comparison sample, and two for perpetrator DNA samples. The kit contains a comprehensive manual with instructions to support the person collecting a sample, as well as a form to document what happened to you and any other material that is relevant to the sample collection.
With that, the kits are housed and collected within our partner organization. So there's also the trained staff member that is there to support the person through the evidence collection, as well as with handing the kit over to the RCMP with a full or a third party, otherwise known as anonymous, report. The big thing is you should always go to the hospital. That's the biggest thing, right? If you can, go to the hospital. If you cannot, this is an option for you potentially. And even if you don't have a PaceKit, you can technically collect your own evidence. Of course, there can be legal admissibility questions around that, but just creating some documentation of what has happened can be valuable. And even reporting to a frontline organization, even if you don't want to report to the RCMP, they can provide you support and resources that can really help in the future with healing.
Here's Erica Owens again from the Northern Society for Domestic Peace in Smithers.
Whenever something new is implemented like this, it takes some time and there's usually like some hiccups and barriers. And I know that RCMP and Crown Council are quite stringent and linear on what evidence they can use. So one of my questions would be, if a victim of sexual violence self-collecting evidence with swabs of things and submitting that via PaceKits, is that going to be acceptable to the RCMP, or is there going to be concerns between the investigation process and Crown Council determining whether or not to move forward with charges? I think it's a fabulous idea for victims to be able to do that themselves and very empowering. But just how do we ensure that evidence doesn't get tossed later because it's deemed inadmissible somehow?
I reached out to the Terrace RCMP for comment on how they're going to work with Kasan Society as far as accepting PaceKits and self-collected evidence kit, but they declined to comment. I also reached out to the BC Prosecution Services to inquire about what factors make a DNA sample admissible in court in the cases where charges were laid, and also how will self-collected evidence kits fit into the chain of custody. The chain of custody is the documented process that tracks the movement and control of evidence from the moment it is collected to its final disposition by recording each person who handled it, the date and time of that transfer, and the reason for that transfer. And this is all to ensure its integrity and preventing tampering throughout the process. The chain of custody is what's often used in legal investigations to maintain the credibility of evidence in court. I did not hear back from BC Prosecution Services in time before I aired this episode. However, I will be following up and updating this news story when I have that information. According to Statistics Canada, crimes are solved when police have sufficient evidence to charge an individual with the offense. This represents a shift to a more victim-centered approach to reporting a crime and is particularly relevant to the way that reported incidents of sexual assault are treated by police due to the challenges that often exist in obtaining evidence for this type of crime. A high proportion of unfounded sexual assault may have negative ramifications for victims, such as deterring them from reporting and seeking justice, making it impossible to hold perpetrators accountable. Sexual assault is a highly gendered crime, with women and girls accounting for 90% of the victims involved in incidents reported to police in 2022. And while 37% of women in BC surveyed responded to have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, only 6% of those crimes were reported. Further to that, DNA samples can be collected, but can also be found to be inadmissible for a number of reasons in the cases that the Crown chooses to pursue with charges against a perpetrator, making sexual assault the least charged violent crime in all of British Columbia. Here's Erica again.
And now that very short window to collect evidence is long gone, right? There's only about 72 hours for somebody to move forward with a rape kit, a forensic exam in a hospital, if that's what they choose to do. And I would hate for them to miss out on that opportunity because they think they've done that at home or like in an office setting, and they haven't, unfortunately. And even some of the local small hospitals in the north have struggled and scrambled to have the infrastructure in place to store forensic exams and things because it has to be kept at certain temperatures and all of that stuff. So I can imagine that little detachment stations potentially don't have that infrastructure in place either. I would love to be able to provide that as an option to people. I think that's a fantastic option. When I first started going for PAP exams and found out that I could do a lot of it myself, I was like, yes, please. This is awesome. Yeah. So I would love for that to be an option for victims too, who are already feeling so disempowered.
For sure.
What's available in Smithers, and if there will be also a collaboration for the Northern Society Domestic Peace with PACE kits?
Yeah, we've met once already with the people with the PACE kits, and they came by here and we had a discussion about it. At Domestic Peace, we have police-based and community-based victim services, as well as my role, which is sexual assault services. If people who have experienced a sexual assault want to file an anonymous third-party report, which goes to the RCMP detachment, they can come into the office and meet with our victim service worker, Sheena, or myself, and fill out a third-party report, which gets sent to the RCMP anonymously. We also provide all kinds of support and outreach services for victims of sexual violence. So if somebody currently needed to get a forensic exam done, we can go with them to the hospital or meet them there and support them there, provide comfort items, like whatever they need while they're getting a forensic exam done. I think the more options that a victim or survivor has in terms of how they choose to disclose or how they choose to report or how they choose to move forward with, so sexual assault services here in Smithers and Houston specifically works to do that as much as possible. We try to provide victims and survivors with as much information and resources and choice and sit with them and advocate for them and empower them to do what's right for them moving forward in their healing. We run sexual assault services in Houston and Smithers. We also run an Indigenous-focused sexual assault services program in Hazleton and the surrounding communities out there.
In Terrace, the Kasan Society has a sexual assault response team, or SART, to ensure that someone is always available to provide timely support for victims in the Terrace area. The SART Emergency Sexual Assault Response Line is monitored 24/7, and within weeks, we'll have PACE kits available to people who want to do their own DNA collection after a sexual assault. It's so very important to mention that these PACE kits are not supposed to be a replacement for a forensic test at a hospital. Concerns about the validity of a sample and whether it will be admissible in court are higher when the sample has been collected by someone who's not a healthcare worker. However, this option exists for people who cannot go to an ER or who have had experience at hospitals, which keep them from trusting the healthcare system.
I'm Lisa Schmidt, and I'm the Director of Counseling and Support Programs at Kasan Society.
What was Kasan's role reporting and collecting DNA from someone who's experienced sexual assault before PACE kits were available?
Okay, so Cassandra's role before PaceKit is really no different than after PaceKit. The main thing that we want to be clear about is that it would be best if folks reported to the hospital for a full forensic exam and medical attention. However, if folks are not willing or able to report or go to the hospital for a forensic exam, then we have another option of the PaceKit with the self-collection option of the DNA.
Time is such a factor when you're collecting evidence. So how is Cassan managing that?
If somebody calls within the first 48 hours,
sure,
because then the PaceKit is an option within the first 48 hours, a qualified staff member would either be seeing them in person or taking their phone call on our sexual assault response line, part of our sexual assault response team. And that person would be able to provide emotional and practical support and offer them options and let them know what their rights are. If they're over the age of 18 and they're not injured and they're not intoxicated, then we would walk them through the informed consent and provide a PaceKit that would be completed within our facility. So this is only if we have already ruled out going to the hospital for a full forensic exam, right?
Okay.
So they're here. They meet the criteria. We have trained about 10 staff to be able to support somebody doing their own forensic PaceKit. The person, the sexual assault response coordinator, would not be assisting them with the PaceKit, because then they wouldn't be able to provide support for them, because now they become a witness.
Okay.
And in case it ever goes to court, this is why we trained up a number of staff members, so that our sexual assault response coordinator or the qualified person on the other end of the phone or whoever comes in, likely the sexual assault response worker, she would work with the individual and determine if this is something that they felt was in their best interest. If it's determined that a PaceKit is something that they want to try, then our coordinator then would call upon one of the other team members who's available to do a PaceKit with them. So we have a designated place within our organization. It's a nice trauma-informed and comfortable location with privacy and a bathroom, and we've got the PaceKit locked up. And the person that would be going through the PaceKit with them would be following the instructions exactly as they're outlined.
Can people take them home to use?
No, people can't take them home. So because it's such a new technology in Canada and hasn't gone to the court system yet, we want to ensure that we're taking every measure to follow every instruction to the T in case it does end up going to court, because it could be fought, right? Yeah. So if we're there supporting the person, then we can say, and if anybody asks us, how did you do this? And we'll say, we read the instructions and we did it this way. How did you do that? We did it according to the instructions. Whereas if we let somebody take it home with them, we can't guarantee that it was them that they even got the DNA off of.
Is the next move to go with that person as an advocate to the police detachment in Terrace?
We wouldn't be keeping the kits. The kits would be stored at the RCMP detachment. And along with it would be either a full report, if the survivor wants to do a full report, or they could do a third party report. And a third party report goes along with the kit. And it doesn't describe who, it doesn't list who the name is of the person who has been assaulted, but it lists the perpetrator. Everything about the perpetrator. And so there is a reporting option that goes along with the kits when we take them to RCMP, and RCMP is on board with us.
How is Cassan and the RCMP working together to ensure that if someone does go through this because they, for whatever reason, do not want to go and do forensic testing in a hospital environment and they choose to do the PaceKit instead, how are you ensuring as good of a rate as possible that these samples are admissible?
We're just following the instructions. That's what we're doing. We can't ensure anything. So all we can do is follow the instructions and hope for the best.
Are the kits available now?
The kits will be available once we have finished creating our internal procedures around the use of them. currently they're locked up because we don't want any of our staff who have been trained to support somebody with a self-collection to inadvertently do it with them. We want to ensure that there's clear procedure on our end so that nothing can be argued. So I just haven't had time to create our procedures yet, but it's something that we're working on. So once we've got that done, we'll have the pay skips available. And I'm hoping by the end of March, probably sooner than that, but it can be a while creating the procedure and making sure everybody's informed about how that works. And we're in no place where we ever suggest or recommend what people do. We really just present options and how people decide what's best for them. Mm-hmm. So having another option available may increase the reporting of sexual assault, because so many people may not be going to the hospital for this for a variety of reasons that they're not even sharing.
The PACE kit can be used within 48 hours of an assault, but a forensic test at a hospital can be conducted within 7 days of an assault, even though, as you may have grasped from the conversations that I've had with professionals in this episode of CICK News, that time is such an integral factor in collecting DNA samples. The Kasan Society's sexual assault report line is 250-635-1911, and they provide emergency responses to victims of sexual assault, any age or gender. In Smithers, people who experience sexual assault can call the Sexual Assault Services or SAS line at 250-876-8686. Thank you to Lisa Schmidt, Erica Owens, and Chloe Hunt for their interviews in today's episode.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.